We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
Man, we're so glad you're here. So for the last couple of weeks, we have been, I won't say it's in a series, but it's been in a series, undescribed, unplanned, unforecasted. We started out and we talked about a vision because most of the time when you hear this scripture, you think very specifically about the beginning of the year. And it says, where there's no vision, people perish. For a lack of prophetic understanding is a literal interpretation. For a lack of prophetic understanding, people perish. And I don't believe most of the time, if you hear that in the context of a church setting, you hear that for a vision of the church or for the house or for the ministry of where the ministry is going. While I believe that is true, I don't believe that does total context to what the Word of God is trying to say. I believe that if you don't have a vision for your own life of what you're trying to accomplish, what the Lord wills to do in your life, because there are differences in good ideas and God ideas. I'm going to give you that to you again. There's a difference in good ideas and God ideas. You start tracking a bunch of good ideas for your life. How many stories have you ever heard in your life that started this way? Well, I thought it was a good idea. Well, it sounded good, but the end of that story ended up looking exactly the opposite. Now, in contrast, I want to tell you, I want to ask you how many times you've seen this happen. In my life, I've had best worst days. Sometimes the things that I thought that the Lord had allowed to happen in my life were going to break me, but in reality, they were the things that ended up making me and bringing me to a much better place. Does that make sense? Jesus said this, or the Word of God says this, He said, never despise the day of small beginnings. Never despise where you're at this morning. Whether you're, Paul said this, he said, whether I am in need or whether I have much, I've learned to be content. Paul said this, he said, I figured out it's not about the situation and it's not about the circumstance I'm in. It's about where I'm going. It's about learning to be content in what God is doing in me right now. So if I have to go through a season of need, then I guess I just have to learn how to trust more. And if I have to go through a season of sickness, it's because I need to learn that the Lord is a healer. Does that make sense? But having a vision for who you are trying to become will get you so far down the road, it's not even funny. Because this, a famous baseball player said this. He said, you miss 100% of the pitches that you don't swing at. What we do is we equate success with vision. But sometimes failure equates to vision. When you begin to teach your child how to walk and they were holding onto your fingers and finally they let go and they just kind of, we call it falling forward in our house. It just kind of is a graceful gravity trip. You know what I'm talking about? It's just, I have people in here, because we're a young church, I have people in here that will send me videos of your child falling forward. And in the background, I can hear the parents, I can hear the grandparents, I can hear neighbors. They're walking. No, they fell forward. They didn't walk, but they fell forward. Those were two drunk steps followed by a crash. But you know what? We're here today because we want to celebrate the fall forward. That if you can get a vision for your life of what God wants you to be as a husband, as a Christ follower, as a disciple, as an employee, as a person, man. Do you know what? There's so many things that we know that we should do. How many times this week have you heard somebody make this statement? I know I should, but. I know I oughta, but. I've made a decision to try to eat healthy. And man, I smoked it three meals this week. Like, not just three, but one day I had breakfast. I killed it. Nothing bad. Snacks that day, nothing bad. Lunch, a salad with grilled chicken. Dinner, another salad with grilled chicken. No bad snacks. And I was sitting there in my recliner. And man, I get munchy at night. I texted Kyle this week in the middle of the night. Well, not really in the middle of the night, but like 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, his kids are selling Girl Scout cookies. And I'm like, hey, Kyle, can you bring me some shortbread cookies? Like it was a drug deal. The bad thing is Kyle texted me back. And he's like, when do you need them? I really... I mean, you can judge me if you want to, but you know. But here's the thing. I have a vision of being healthy, but here's the thing. What happened is that night I was sitting in my recliner, and I put a little peanut butter, which is healthy protein. I just want that to be noted because it was natural peanut butter, on a Swiss cake roll. And I began to eat it with my fat-free milk. Don't even judge me for fat-free milk. I know it's white water, but it's okay. I can tolerate it. And so what I did was, as I chewed it, I began to fall in condemnation. I'm sitting here looking at this deliciously wonderful little Debbie, which is the only woman that, anyway. You know what I'm talking about. Married men, she's the only woman that can turn your head. Go through a grocery store and I pass little Debbie and I'm like, you know, she ain't attractive, but there's something about her. And so I was sitting there eating my little Debbie, and I fell into condemnation because I'm like, man, I'm sitting here eating this, and it's not what I want to do. And it took me to our second week, because once you have a vision, you have to get the habits that back up your vision. Because you can have all the vision you want to. I know people that are visionaries, but couldn't follow through getting out of a building on fire. You know what I'm talking about? They would get sidetracked by the butterfly in the burning building. They'd be, oh, look, we got to go. Oh, wow, but look, it's, you know what I mean? It's just those type people. So I was like, okay, Lord, I've got this vision to be healthy, and I've got this vision to be a Christ follower, and I've got this vision. Okay, and then last week we said, you know, Paul talked about being in the habit of, because our habits are what help make us and break us. Now, while you're building habits, we talked about learning to celebrate the fall forward. Meaning this, man, do you know how many years it has been since I ate 3 healthy meals consecutively? Don't guess. Thank you for not calling random numbers out. But my point was, even at the end of the night, I had stumbled through most of that day to fall forward. The scripture says, though a man falls, it's not how many times he falls, but rather how many times he gets back up. That's faith. That's the fulfillment. And at Thrive, we're going to celebrate the fall forward, because you're never going to learn to walk. You're never going to learn to stumble. You're never, until you learn to fall forward. And once you fall forward, we don't believe that's the end of your story. We want you to begin to do the Frankenstein. Everybody ever see the Frankenstein kid? I was laughing. One of our dads was here today, and he had his little girl, cute little girl, by the foot, and by the finger, and he let go. Not by the foot, that'd be bad. By the finger. They teach him how to walk on their hands. And no, he had her by the finger, and she's coming across the church, and finally lets go of her finger. And right as she gets to nursery, there's a threshold. And I'm bragging. I'm like, look at you. Because she had me walking. I said, look how good you, look how, right to the ground. And you know what? Her dad looked at her and said, oh, that's okay, and scooped her. And you know that motion? Right back to her feet, patted her on her little diaper and said, you keep going, girl. And I think sometimes that's what we have to learn, that once we get a vision and once we begin to try to develop those habits that are Christ-like, that a lot of times we focus on the fall rather than on the steps. So this morning, if you've missed part of this series, here's my challenge to you. One, get a vision for your life, not just like this metaphysical, like somewhere out in la-la land vision for your life, but like a real practical vision for who you're trying to become. Then the next question is, you need to ask yourself, it's like this. If you say, you know what, I want to be a person of prayer. How often do you pray? Never. Pray before meals. Pray 3 times a day. Well, have you ever thought about maybe developing a habit at 8 o'clock? Cut the TV off for 10 or 15, 20, 30 minutes. Spend some time in prayer. It's like this. I have a vision of being physically fit. I've yet to go to the gym this year. Do you know what you call that? Wishful thinking. It's not a vision. Are you tracking with where I'm coming from? What is the real biblical vision that God has for you? What are the habits that you put into play to make them happen? So now you're caught up. So now I need you to look at your neighbor, just square in the side of their head. And I want you to say, just do it. Look at your other neighbor. And I want you to say, you're not my favorite because you're my second pick. No, I'm just kidding. I want you to look at your other neighbor. And I want you to say, just do it. Now, I'm not a big Nike. See, some of y'all, the second neighbor, you're apologizing to right now. You didn't do anything else I asked you to. But the bottom line is this, is that a lot of us spend our life wishing that things were different. I talk a lot to people about the difference between the patterns that people have and the potential that people have. A lot of people have all the potential in the world, but they'll never develop the patterns in their lifestyle to live up to what God has for them. Does that make sense? If you've been here long enough, you've heard me talk about the difference in your passion and your pursuit. You can have the passion to do something, but if you don't have the pursuit or the habits to do it, you'll never accomplish what God has for your life. And here's the problem. Habits are not developed overnight. They're intentional. And sometimes to develop a really good habit, you have to break the habit to remember to have the habit. Have you ever fallen asleep one night and you forgot to brush your teeth? Don't confess this right now because your neighbor may have smelled it when you said just do it. But have you ever woke up the next morning and you feel like moss has grown in your mouth? You know what I'm talking, like when you talk and you try to turn your own head. You know what I'm talking about, like, good morning, Jesus. Oh, wow, yeah. Need to, whoa, I'm still there. Or you wake yourself up and your head's under the pillow and you're like, God, what is that? What died in my bed? I didn't brush my teeth last night. I need to. Now, most of us have a habit, hopefully, of brushing our teeth before we go to bed every night. But you know what will help you remember it sometimes is waking up that one morning when you forget. Or when you go to the doctor and you hear this sound, bzz, bzz, it'll help you just put that habit into play. And what we do a lot of times in Christianity is we try to make everything either all about God or all about us. But God said, I desire relationship with you, meaning that I want to do my part and I want you to do your part. It's like this: God gives me a vision for being healthy, but God's not going to send me to the gym. He can nudge me to go to the gym. You know that thought, like when you're like, hey, if you really want to be healthy, you could go today, followed by your flesh. Nah, not today. My son looked at me the other day and he said, you know, if you're ever actually going to do what you're talking about doing, you're actually going to have to go to the gym. And I want to look at a lot of people and go, you know, if you ever really want to be the person of faith that you have a vision for being, if you ever want to be the husband or wife you dream of being, if you ever want to be the employee or the employer that you dream of being, sometimes you have to begin to set habits in place that 'll support those things. So this morning we're going to talk about just do it. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says this. Again, it's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. Man, that is a great church scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yes, Lord. I mean, that just sounds good. Lean not on your own understanding. Yes, Jesus. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. Man, I give God credit for everything all the time. Man, I love the Lord with all my heart. Man, see how much I fulfill the scripture. You're missing one line. He said this. He said, and lean not to your own understanding. See, a lot of times in order to develop one habit, we have to let go of another habit. And the problem with us all as humans is we like repetition. Even if we say we don't, we like doing the same thing over and over again because we know what we can expect. We went to do something this morning, change a little sound setting that we weren't totally sure was not going to blow up a $1,000 piece of equipment. And so I'm back with our tech folks and our audio video folks, and Steve heads that up. And I had the piece of electronics in one hand and the cord in the other, and I looked at him and I said, you know, there's no guarantee this isn't going to blow this up, but I know what I've got now. Just for your information, it didn't blow up, so thank God. But my point is this, is that sometimes you've got to turn loose of what's safe, because we could have kept doing what we had always been doing since we started this particular part of our ministry. We could do it the same way, and I knew what we would get. But in order to have this new thing that I really felt like God wanted us to have, I had to turn loose of what was safe, and I had to risk something. Because in order to trust the Lord with all your heart and to lean not to your understanding, if you can figure it out, you're not leaning. If it's safe, you're probably not leaning. Does this make any sense to you at all? Do you remember that? I was a youth pastor for a long time. I used to speak at all kinds of youth conferences and stuff. And I brought this little girl up on stage one time. And I was talking about trust in the Lord. And I told her to turn around backwards. And I said, now, just a minute, I'm going to ask you to fall. And when she falls, and she fell in the middle of the stage with 300 kids there, I heard her melon bounce on the floor. And I picked her up. Liz was actually there as a teenager. I picked her up. And I'm like, I didn't tell you to fall. She said, all I heard was fall. Whoops. So I turned her back around. I said, now, in a minute, not now. And I kept my hand on her back. I'm going to tell you to fall in just a minute, and I want you to fall. And finally, I turned around and had my arm trained. I said, fall. And what she did was this. She went. Now, let's be honest. I can't say that I blame her. But here's the problem. Her falling the first time was not my fault. She wasn't listening to the instructions. Do I need to even preach this? See, God has a set of instructions, and sometimes we hurt ourselves because we do what we want to do, but we don't do what He told us to do because we couldn't make it make sense. And then we turn around and we blame Him because we fail. And He's standing with His hand on her back going, no, honey, you're not listening to me. When I tell you to fall, fall. Don't fall when it makes sense to you. Don't fall when you're comfortable. And if you're going to fall, don't look back. If you're going to leave one thing, if you're going to leave this plane and operate on another plane, you can't turn around and do it. Because the minute you turn, you change your elevation. Does this make any sense to you? The Lord says this. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to what you can figure out. What does that look like? Watch. So if one of your vision statements for your life, you say, you know what? I want to be a Christ follower. And you know what? I see that in Scripture, one of the things that are lifted is about giving. But you know what? I can't work out. See, God doesn't do anything that makes sense. Jesus said the first will be last and last will be first. Jesus, you've lost your mind. That's not true because first is first and everything else are losers, right? Because we're men and we know that's how we compete, right? What is second place? First loser. We know how this works. But Jesus said, no. He said, the first will be last and last will be first. If you really want to get somewhere in the kingdom of God, you've got to try to put other people ahead of you. Turn the other cheek. Jesus, you have lost your mind. If a man strikes you on your cheek, you punch him in his face. No, Jesus said, look, no, you're missing the point. Because if you take vengeance, I can't take vengeance. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I got to get you to think different. Because actually to turn the other cheek means to totally change your focus. I'm not even focused on my enemy anymore. So watch this. He looks at him and he said, if you're trying to do it the way that makes sense to you, I'm going to tell you to do all kinds of things that you're not going to figure out. How do you give and have it given to you? No, God, if I give, I've got less. But God said, but if you'll trust me to my ways and not your ways, if you'll get a vision for who you really can be, because I've got plans, Jeremiah 29:11, for I've got plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you and prosper you and not to harm you and to give you a hope and a future. So that means that even when you walk through something that's bad, there's something that's better coming out on the other end. Does this make sense to you? So here's the question. What are you going through today that you really need to look at and you've been trying to manage it the way that makes sense rather than managing it the way that God has shown you to do it? I know people that spend their entire lives wanting a word from God. If I just knew exactly what God wanted me to do. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you could probably name 15 things off the top of your head that you know to do that is right? But you're not doing them. If you need help, I can start listing stuff. How many of you know that if you ate healthier, you would be healthier and live longer and a better life. How many of you know that if you didn't watch as much of the stuff on TV and listen to as much of the crappy stuff that you listen to on the radio, that you would probably be in a better frame of mind? How many of you know that you've got friends that you should have gotten rid of a long time ago, but you're holding on to them because you're okay with them being a tick and you being the host? I can't decide if you got quiet because I'm teaching bad or I'm teaching good. You want me to keep going? How many of you have like 15 habits that you know that you should break and that you hope nobody finds out about, but you won't deal with them because you just don't want to deal with them? See, some of us don't need a new word from God. We just need to listen. We just need to start doing it. You know, I know you're real toxic for me, but I keep taking you into my life every 5 minutes. I keep taking you in. But then I can't figure out why I've got all this toxic disease in my life. But the problem is you know, if I went and stood behind the car and passed out from carbon monoxide, Paul is a firefighter. He drags me from behind the car, puts me on oxygen, gets me ready to go, and then I go right back to the car and sit down. Paul's a big dude. I call him the Hulk because Paul is large. Paul's going to pick me up the second time. He's going to be like, now listen. Listen. You keep going back. We're going to have to do this different. Or he's going to say this. If you keep going back, I'm just going to stand here. Because I can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. Does this make sense? What do you keep running back to that God keeps trying to pull you away from? And the fact that you won't just do what he's telling you to do means you stay in the cycle that you've always been in. Does this make sense to you? James 14:17 says this, James 4:17 says this. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. I got ready just to preach that one verse of Scripture, lay the mic down, and close. To him who knows to do something that's right or good or is healthy or is but doesn't do it. Now I'm not saying I'm not saying if you go home and eat a Swiss cake roll, you're sinning. That's don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But if God is laying something on your heart that you're supposed to be doing, and you know the difference between a good idea and a God idea, right? You know in your heart when it's a God thing and when it's a you thing. But when it's a God thing and God begins to lay this on your heart, he said this, he said, if I start dealing with you about doing something or not doing something and you continue to do it, then to you it's sin. But how much stuff has God told us to do that we refuse to just do it? Have you ever had that conversation with your child? I want you to clean your room. Why? Because it's dirty. So I'm going to get dirty again. Yeah, but I want it cleaned up. Why? Listen to me, little person. Now, Daddy's only going to tell you about one more time to go do it. Do you know why? Because I don't need you to trust your own understanding because, honey, you don't understand anything. You are under 35. You probably don't know much. Some of us over 35 don't know much. Let's be honest. I am still in a perpetual state of learning. But I'm gonna say this. When I looked at my child as I raised them up and they would look at me and want to argue with me, I told him, I said, look, son, let me tell you something. If you're ever in a car full of teenagers and you don't know what to do, don't ask them. Because they are as dumb as you are. No, have you ever been? I went to Atlanta one time with a group of pastors. We were in downtown Atlanta, and we had no idea where we were at. It was not a place you wanted to be at where we were particularly at. And I'm driving, and one of the dudes looks over at me and goes, hey, you know where we're at? Oh, yeah. Where are we at? We're in Atlanta. Where in Atlanta are we? We're in the car. Do you know how to get out of here? Yeah, open the door. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you know where specifically we're at in relation to where we're going? I said, no. Do you? And in that moment, I figured something out. That if you're looking laterally for direction in your life, you're lost. If you're going to your friends, if you're going to your coworkers, if you're going to those type of people and you're looking for direction in your life, you're probably just going to end up further lost. I've got a thing on my phone now called Waze. There are two women that I listen to now in my life. One is my wife and the other is the little chick off of Waze. Because I've ignored her twice and I thought only Jesus would find me. Oh, it's the truth. I've argued with my wife. My wife has a great sense of direction. That was not a gift I was given. And she's like, we got to go right. I'm like, no, I'm telling you, it's left. No, let's go right. Let's go, no, left. And it took me about 408 times of not listening to my wife just to go, you know where we're at. It's true. But you know what? In my faith walk, it's been the same way. I've looked at God and been like, God, no, this is the thing I need to go do. This is the person I need to be with. Does this make sense to you? And he's going, no, it's over here. But God, that doesn't look like what I want. That doesn't talk like what I want. That's not in the right. Does this make sense? And God goes, now look, you can try it. And then after a season, I will come back and be like, God, I can't believe that didn't work. And he's going, Have you ever done that to your wife? You've been like, honey, I was wrong. And she's like, I mean, if you're waiting on me to be shocked. Same's true with God. I mean, does this make sense to you? Now, that God is a loving God, and he loves you enough to let you go get on a treadmill that he knows is going to hurt you. Because sometimes the only way your kids learn is the hard way. How many times do you ever look at your spouse and go, well, I reckon they're going to have to learn the hard way? I could give you a horrible example, but I'm not going to. You ever had to have a talk with your kid about wearing a helmet like on a motorcycle? That can be learned the easy way or the hard way. I'm just going to say it can. Anyway. So my question to you is what is the Lord telling you to do that you've really been running from doing because you're more interested in doing it your way than you are God's way? I mean, think about that. I mean, this like gets to the nuclear level of who you are, because I can have a vision for who I am. I can begin to develop the habits, but if I won't go do the habits, then really I'm just talking about it. And Jesus, I believe, said through the gospel with and through Paul in the New Testament, he said, but you know what, it's echoed said in the gospel and echoed in the Pauline writings. I don't want you just to be a hearer of the word. I want you to go be a doer. Don't just listen to me. You ever looked at your kid and they go, I'm listening. Then they go do exactly the opposite of what you told them, and you're like, what are you thinking? I just told you. I'm sorry. Why'd you do it? I don't know. Now look, we want to like kill our kids for that, but how many times do we do that to God? Did I not just tell you to do that? Uh-huh. Why'd you do it? I don't know. What do you say to your kids after that? It's the same thing God's going to say to you. Okay, just go do it. Go do it exactly like I told you to, and you won't get hurt. Just do it that way. Just do it how I told you to, and you're going to be fine. Because have you ever tried to bless your kid, and they were so hard-headed, you ended up just wanting to send them to Jesus? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you're like man, you're trying to bless them, and you're trying to bless them, and then your hands are around their neck. Not really, but like figuratively around their neck. See, sometimes God's like, what do I have to do to get you not to lean on your own understanding and just to do what I'm telling you to do? Because if you don't do it, then it's going to become sin. It's going to become a problem. It's going to separate us from each other because you won't listen to your Father. And if I'm really your heavenly Father, then I only have one kind of plan for you, and that's a plan to bless you and prosper you, not to harm you. So even when you're walking through something and it doesn't make sense and it's bad and it's gloomy, you have to lean not on your understanding but on mine. Because I'm going to tell you what, when I was 7, that closet dude looked real. I mean, my dad would come in and flip the light on and be like, son, it's your coat. But as soon as he flipped that light off, he was back. So at some point, I had to lean on his understanding for what was going on, not on mine. Is this making any sense to anybody? James 2:18-20 says this. It said, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. I'm just going to stop right there. This is an argument that's still going on inside of Christianity today. There is one sect that wants to talk about how much faith that they have in God, and then you've got other groups that want to go show you what they're doing for God. Don't have a lot of faith, but they got a lot of do. And then you got this other group that doesn't have any do, but they got a lot of faith. Man, we're praying for the homeless. What are you doing? Nothing. We're praying for people in Haiti. What are you sending them? Nothing. We're praying for student ministry, but we're not buying any tickets. That was free. Not really. They're $7 a piece, too. Anyway. Then you got this group that goes, I bought all the tickets, but I'm not doing any praying. I'm not believing God for what He's going to do in the church or in my life or in my kids' life or in the student ministry or in, right? I want God to give me a vision. I want God to give me a vision. I want God to give me a vision. I want God to do it for me. Look what all I can do. Look what all I can accomplish. Look what all I can. Is it making sense now? Some people rely totally on themselves. Some people rely totally on God but don't want to do anything. It's true. Do you know what real faith? Paul said this. He said, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Paul said this. Paul said, it's the marrying of the two. It's when vision and godly understanding meet action. Well, that's true for a church, and we'll applaud it for a church, but what about us as individuals? You know what? I know that, man, I'm getting ready to set y'all up for February. I know that as a married couple, we're supposed to be in unity. It's funny. I have married couples all the time, and I'm like, well, tell me what unity is. And they're like, I don't know. It means we always agree on everything. I'm like, that is not true. Let me give you 20-some years of marriage. That ain't happening, Captain. Unity is not about agreeing. Unity is about finding agreement. Make sense? Unity is when your will meets God's will and they start to hold hands. Does this make sense to you? Unity is about faith and works, is about where I believe something so much that it causes me just to do it. So here's the real question. What in your life needs to find some hand-holding? What needs to find faith and action at the same time? I mean, for some of us, we go, man, I want to be closer to God. There's your vision. What habits do I need? You know, I probably need to read and I probably need to pray the Bible. Probably need to read the Bible and pray. Okay, that's great. But then what habits do I have, and am I following through with those? Because if I quit following through with them, then it's probably a sin for me. I know I'm supposed to treat my wife a certain way, and I'm supposed to have this relationship, and that's my vision, and I know how to do it. But I don't actually do it. I know this is God's plan for my finances, and I know that I'm supposed to give, and I know that I'm supposed to be a steward. I know that all those things, but I'm not really doing it. I know this lady that I'm with, I know this guy that I'm with is toxic, but I just keep taking the pill. Does this make sense? Sometimes our answer is not that we need a new word from God. Sometimes our answer is that we need to do what we know to do. You know, I've met very few people that go, I don't need to go to church. Do you know most people that I talk to, here's what they say. Man, I know I need to be in church more. But, and the rest doesn't really matter. What they're saying is, I know what's good for me. And I know what the Lord wants me to do. And I know how it's supposed to be. And I've got a vision for it. I'm just not willing to make the choices. I'm not willing to put the habits in there. And because of that, that's becoming sinful to me because I'm intentionally pushing away from God. I mean, these can be over simple things because if you notice the scripture says, James 17 says this, it says, therefore, 4:17 says this, it says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it. If you don't know it, it's not yours. There are things all the time I look at people and go, I don't do that. Is it a sin? To me, it would be if I were to do it. It's not like globally. It's like this. If everybody in your family was an alcoholic, it may not be wrong to have a glass of wine, but for you, you may feel conviction and you just need to stay away from it. I listen to 80s music. You may turn on 80s music and be like, man, that I just feel like I'm going to hell and need a shower after I listen to, you know, I just, right? Guess what? Don't listen to it. Because the minute I feel like that, I'm going to turn the channel. Shoot 'em up movies do not bother me. I do not mind watching people get shot on TV. I mean, they're God's children. I love them, but I like to watch a bad guy get capped in the end. You think whatever you want to about me. I feel no condemnation about that. Like, I don't even want him in handcuffs. Pow, pow. You know what I'm talking about? I want... Pray for me. That's all I'm saying. Just pray for me. Because, like, I can watch that. I can watch that and feel zero condemnation. But I have turned on some Disney stuff that had some real stuff that were some overtones there that really bothered me that I'm like, dude, I just can't watch that. I went back and tried to have my son watch stuff that I used to not feel conviction about. Turned it on and found conviction. You know what I'm talking about? No, right? The movie didn't change. I'm adored. When my son was a kid, he watched Barney. Oh, yes, a lot. At 21, he's like, no. Barney didn't change. Trust me, Barney is the same. Anyway, Barney has not changed. Do you know what changed? He did. What you may have been able to do in your faith for years, the Lord may mature you to a place where it's no longer okay for you to do. Doesn't mean you make it everybody else's gold standard. For me, I don't do that. Is this making any sense to you? Because if you really want to be everything that God wants you to be today, you're going to have to do a couple of things. You're going to have to get a vision for who God really called you as an individual to be on every level of your life. As an employee, as an employer, as a Christ follower, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, as a student, as an athlete, does this make sense? This is like a universal thing. You ever watched a woman get ready to get married? Oh, it'll make you want to die. It will, because you know all she wants to talk about? The wedding. I've sat down to do premarital stuff, and I'm like, how's the wedding going? Oh, it's great. We're purple and we're teal. And so the bride's, it's a scallop dress, but it's not a suit. It's flattering no matter your body type. And so what did he, right? I want to look at him and go, you know I'm a dude, right? I quit listening after everything's going okay. I'm just nodding at this point. And my dress is what, it's flowy and it, right? And then at the end, Pastor, what I want an arbor and I want doves that come out at the end, right? Because in their mind, they've got a vision for what they want that day to look like. We've got more of a vision sometimes for what we want our birthdays and weddings and anniversaries and graduations to look like than we do for our overall life. Does this make sense? So if you can get a vision for it, you can develop the habits for it. But then here's the other part. You have to just do it. And what I'm teaching isn't like some, oh my gosh, that's a revelation. It's just like, yeah, I need to do that. Does this make any sense to anybody? This is where practicality meets your faith. Because some of us, God can't tell us anything new because we're too busy ignoring what he's already told us to do. Now here's the good point. You could take, I got note takers. I'm stealing somebody's, can I steal your pad, Jim? Because I know you well enough to take, can I have your pen too? Because it makes me look more like I know what I'm doing. So watch this. I may be sitting here, and I'm not going to read your notes, I promise. But I may be sitting here, and I'm like, you know what? I need to do this. And I need to do this. And I need to do this. And here's really what the Lord's telling me. Here's stuff I need to take care of. Does anybody else's wife tell them to make a list of stuff they need to do through the week? Anybody give your wife a list of stuff to do through the week? Anybody here married? I just want to see if you'd actually raise your hands. Y'all are looking at me like a monkey doing a math problem. My wife, on Sundays, my wife will sit down and she'll say, okay, let's go through our schedule for the week. I'm like, okay, and we'll start going through it. She said, oh, and we start dividing and conquering, right? So in my phone, I put all my ministry stuff, I put all my personal stuff, and then I prioritize it. And I love nothing more than going in there and hitting the button that checks it, marks it out, and sends it to the bottom of the list. It's like, no, it's like gratification. Am I the only one who like gets that? Okay. There's like two people in here. Thank you. I may need to go back and preach this again in like 2 months. So, but what if you took your faith that way? What if you literally laid out what you're supposed to accomplish? And you started checking it off daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. How much further in your faith would be? I think what we do is we're so haphazard with our faith that we can't accomplish anything. If I look at you and I say this, you know what, Jim, I'm just handing it back to you. I can't even put it back together. If I look at you and go, you know what, I'm going to go to the gym. That sounds like a win, doesn't it? No, because I can go in the gym, but now here's the next question, because it's all vision, right? What are you trying to work on? What if I went in there every day and I just lifted my arms? I might as well not go because I'm going to be all Popeye in my arm but look like I'm riding a chicken. And my heart's probably not going to be that healthy. And my abs are still going to look like one ab rather than multiples. But what if I said, you know what? On Monday I'm going to do arms. And on Tuesday I'm going to do legs. And on Wednesday I'm going to do abs. And on Thursday I'm going to do chest. And on Friday I'm going to do my back. Then I'm going to take 2 days off and I'm going to rest. That looked pretty balanced, wouldn't it? Last time I went to the gym, I decided I was going to do a total body workout. I couldn't even pick what hurt. I'm going to get back in the Word, and I'm going to pray for 4 hours, and I'm just going to do the total body Jesus thing right here. And it lasts for about 45 seconds. And then you quit. What if you say, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go to the gym. I'm just going to go into my spiritual gym, and I'm going to work the Word and a little bit of prayer. I'm going to do a little bit of treadmill and a little bit of lifting, and it'll be of some value. And you know what, if I don't feel like going, I'm just going to do a couple of verses. I'm going to do one verse. Do one verse and some prayer. Because something's better than nothing, and I'm still building my habit. I'm still building my just do it mentality. And you know what? If this person needs to go out of my life, then I'm just going to start cutting them out slow. I'm just going to avoid them today. That sounds like a horrible goal, but you know what? Sometimes you got to get rid of the folks that don't belong. Anybody feeling this? You know what? I may not eat healthy any other meal. I'm going to do it this one meal. Lord, I feel like you're telling me to get them out of my life, but I'm afraid of being alone. And Jesus said, how can you be alone if I'm with you? And if I said that it wasn't good for mankind to be alone, if I tell you to get rid of them, I'm only making space. In the beginning, God created, right? You take your baby. How old's your child? 9 months, probably a little young. Take a 2-year-old. Plop that, any 2-year-old you want to, plop them down on a sandy beach. What are they going to do? They're going to start making something. It may not look like anything to you, but if you walk up and go, hey, buddy, what are you doing? They're going to be like, I make a castle. Okay, it looks like a zit. Right? I used to coach little kids t-ball. I went into my second baseman is out there. My second baseman, my first baseman, my center fielder are all in the middle of the game. They start building something in the sand. I used to do that. People were like confessing, that was me. My point is, you are made in the image and likeness of God. There are things that are inherently inside of you that you've never seen before. But the closer you begin and the more you begin to let God lead you, the more you'll see His provision and how much like your Father you really are. You know, all of our life we try to see how big we can get our circles to get. How many followers do you have? I actually had somebody ask me that one day, like on Instagram. I'm like, I don't know. They're the people that I pretty much know. I mean, some of them I don't, but for the most part, I mean, I'm not really looking just to get likes. I'm looking for real followers, like people that I can teach about Jesus and stuff. I really don't care about notoriety. I care about impact. Because you can know me, but if I'm not impacting your life, I'm really not doing anything. I'm just there. And stuff that's just there is called whatnots. And whatnots, after about 2 minutes, become junk. Is this making sense? So if I go, you know what? I'm not gonna let all these things that don't need to occupy my time and my mind and my. I used to, when we posted something as a church, I used to track every 5 minutes how many likes it has. And so I figured out, am I posting it for the likes or am I posting it for the what? Is this making any sense? So you know what? Yeah, God, I'm going through some stuff, but what can I change? What do I need to be faithful in? What do I need to listen to? What do I need to be obedient in? Because if I'll answer those questions, I'll find so much fulfillment in my life that things will just begin to work out. You know, last week I had the habit slide up as my background. And it was a set of dominoes. Because one habit leads to another, that leads to another, that leads to another. When you begin to just do it, you cause a reaction chain to happen in your life. You may have to let go of somebody and it may break your heart. But it may start the dominoes falling in the right direction for you to really have what the Lord wants to send to you. You know what, you may have to, man, this is gonna mess you up, but you may have to give something that you're trying to hold on to so that you can have what you're really trying to get to. You may have to start habitually forming the habit of doing something over and over again before you see any results. So your prayer might not be that God would do it for you, but that He would give you the strength to continue on. Because I know this, that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you have to get vision for, no matter what you have to get breakthrough for, here's the answer, that if you will get a vision for it, you will habitually do it, and you will make a priority. You're just going to do it at all costs. You're just going to do it. That if you'll put those three things into play, I promise you this, I make a promise with you, if you'll do that consistently, habitually, for 30 days, I promise you this, you'll walk back in here and you'll be like, man, my life is 180 degrees different. You know what? I know I should pray with my wife, man. I don't know how. Start doing it. I didn't know how to do anything when I got married. Like, we called Tracy's dad to come fix it, everything. No, I wish that was like some stretch of knows the truth. And I started learning. And now I go, hey, man, can I call you if I get stuck with this? I mean, I still call him a lot, but what if our relationship with God looked like that? We said, God, look, I'm down here, I'm trying. And if I get stuck, if I fall, will you just come help me? But I'll do what I know to do. You can trust me to do that. I think if you do that for 30 days, you'll get up at a couple points along the way and you'll celebrate it. Here's the sad truth. The scripture says that just like a dog returns to its vomit, this is the nastiest scripture on any of it. I'm just telling you. That's the same way that people go back to their sin. We go back and we eat stuff over and over again that we shouldn't. We eat fear and we eat doubt and we eat loneliness and we eat frustration and hopelessness. And man, we eat it by the truckload every week. And my prayer for you today is that this is the start. It's not a magic pill that you can come in and take this service and it's never going to happen again. But this will start the process of dominoes falling in your life, to where you can, for maybe for the first time in your life, really experience healthy relationships. and that you can really experience a healthy faith walk, and that you can experience consistency in coming to church, that you could experience consistency in your health and in your finance and in just every area of your life. This could be the start of something big for you. My prayer is that it just changes your life so much. Let me pray for you. Father, this morning as we bring this service to close, Lord, I just ask that you make these truths evident to us. That, God, you make them revelation, God, that you make them so truthful, God, that they just spring forth from inside of us, God, that the things that we know to do, we just need to go do. But, Father, my other prayer is this, that you let us be a church that leads people to you, because, God, we can have all the habits and all the visions we want, but without you, they're just in vain. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I need to make a decision to follow Christ. I need to dedicate, or I need to rededicate myself to Jesus, that I need to confess him as my Lord and Savior, that I need to get my life right. That's not something to be ashamed of. That's something here that we celebrate. We celebrate people becoming right with God, because that's why we're here. And you're no different than any other person that's here. The Word says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man, there's this point in our life where we go, man, I have to change, and only God can change me. If that's you today and you go, you know what, man, I really need to make a profession of faith. I need God to be the leader of my life. Will you just slip your hand up? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just thank you so much. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Man, I don't care if you've come to church here your whole life. If you're like, man, you know what? This is just a moment for me where I need to shift some stuff. Will you just slip your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask every person across this building, will you pray with me? Whether you raised your hand or not, I believe that if you pray this prayer with us, man, you are accepting God as your Savior. If that's your will, if that's your purpose today, I just want you to know that whether you raised your hand or not, man, it's about to happen for you. But whether you're saved or whether you ask it, I'm just going to ask everybody to pray with me, because I don't want to single anybody out, but I just want to make it as easy as I can for people to come to know Christ. So will you just pray with me? Dear Father, I ask you to come into my heart. I want you to save me, but I want you to lead me. Father, direct my path. Forgive my past. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I celebrate those four or five people that raised their hand today. Man, that takes a lot of courage. And man, we applaud what God is doing in your life. We are here for what God is doing in your life. If you're visiting with us for the first time, my wife and I would love to meet you outside. We have a gift that we'd love to give you just for visiting with us today. If you will, stand to your feet. Liz is going to lead us in worship. And when she dismisses you, we would love to spend some time with you outside.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.